Friday, and you're in the zone from 10 Tavern. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man!
You are in the zone, as Nick Anderson says. Nick's on location right now. I put him out working on a Friday afternoon. It is basketball season, so I said, hey, Nick, you got to go out and start getting ready because I have to start doing the Pagmina early preseason rankings, and you got to go out and start looking. So he's around the San Joaquin Valley today. He might be heading to the coast. I'm not sure, but he's going to get you the updated what we want to know what the your basketball boys and girls are looking like. Also, Monday, and Nick will give me the schedule, they have a huge scrimmage. It's not a game, but it's a huge scrimmage over at Clovis West, and it's Monday on Veterans Day. So if you're off to that day and you like basketball, you want to get on over to Clovis West, and I will have that on my Twitter pretty quick. This is the Pag Meter. I'm here at 10 Tavern. This is my favorite restaurant. Okay, if you're on the east side, the northeast of Fresno / Clovis, and you want to find a place to eat a really great, affordable, but fantastic food, well, 10 Tavern has you covered. This is where it is. Corner of Willow and Nice. It's right literally on the corner. Look up where the giant big clock is. Right underneath it is 10 Tavern. This is will be your favorite place. And every time we do this show, people come in and go, Pagmeter, I had no idea about this place. This is awesome. But I would recommend the Pagmeter pasta, and that is the spicy pasta, they call it, and it's the really, truly the best. But they have so many great dishes. But this is your new hot place in town, the 10 Tavern. They have a full-on bar. Also for your Christmas, your baby showers, your wedding shower, whatever. They have the room next door, the table, they call it, at 10 Tavern. And you can rent this room out by yourself. Have it up to 40 people in there. It is fantastic. You call Amy Bo Peep over here at 10 Tavern, and she will get you set because they're starting to fill up. This place is busy all day, all night long because it's outstanding food. They can serve it family style. However you want to do it, they will take care of you here at 10 Tavern on the corner of Willow and Nice. Glad you could be with us. Of course, brought to you by Helen Agri Enterprises, LLC. If you're a farmer out there, and this is the time of year, look, it's still 80 degrees today. These little trees haven't decided if they want to take a nap or not. But it's over. The season's over. But if you maybe didn't have the great year you thought, maybe some of your acres maybe wasn't getting the right quality. Maybe there's something going on. Maybe the other part was awesome and the other ones weren't. And you have so many questions. Call Helena, Agri Enterprises, LLC, 559-261-9030. And they will direct you to wherever your farm is, and just have the professionals come out and talk to them. Pick their brain and work with them, and maybe they can help you out. This is why they're the local people. Helena, maybe Andy Lowe will come out and see you. Maybe Mosby, maybe Nick Anderson, who knows? But the professionals are all over our valley, and Helena is literally everywhere. So when you're driving down, you'll go, oh, there's another Helena. They have a great setup from Fireball and Kerman, stocked, and they're all over the place. So thank you, Helen Agri Enterprises, LLC, 559-261-9030. We're here at 10 Tavern, of course, Friday afternoon, high school football. The first round playoffs are going to be starting tonight. We had one last night. We're going to catch up with Maddie J. Matt Johnson, big win, huge win last night as Madera South knocked off Mission Oak in Tulare, 35-34 in overtime. It was a great game, one of the best you're going to see. And if this is any indication how the playoff tournament is going to be, well, we're up, we're in for a great time. So congratulations to Maddie J. That's a huge win. And we're still trying. So I picked, and Matt will get mad at me, Pagmeter had Mission Oak winning 35-28. I almost nailed the score. Because I figured, well, okay, 7 points at least goes to Mission Oak because Madera has to drive 2 hours in the car or in the bus. So that's got to be worth points, right? Well, they played outstanding. Mr. Tyler, the quarterback, 4 touchdowns. And it was just a great, outstanding time for Madera South. And now Matt is going to be heading up to the mountains with his coaching staff to go see Fireball take on Yosemite. The winner of that game will take on Madera South next week in the quarterfinals. I'm trying to get JoJo the number. Let's do Matt now. If Joe's listening, here it comes. Okay, so playoff football, I don't call it playoff until next week because everyone's invited to the playoffs, so I call it a tournament. And next week, the tournament, I mean, next week, the playoffs will start. And it'll probably weed out some of the teams. If you look at Division 5, where Madera South won last night, I had them at a 6 seed. The coaching gave them a 10 seed, and so they had to travel, even though they beat Madera South. I mean, I'm calling Mission Oak. They still lost, and I think a lot of teams don't like Mission Oak. A lot of teams don't like Madera South because they're the larger school in Division 5. They've struggled for so long, and so this is how they do it. So the CIF will put teams in because they've struggled, and if they get better. But then you got to remember, D5, nobody, and I'm repeating, nobody is winning the game in the CMAC, and that's where Madera South has to play. They got to play against Sanger, Memorial, Bullard, Edison. They're not winning the game. You're going to go 0-4, just like Madera South did. Zero chance. I mean, below zero chance. You're going to win a game in all those Division 5. So we all knew going in. We all knew going in that there's not one team in Division 5 that's going to win a game. Hey, also, I have 4 pair of tickets. If you want to go see Paul George, they're going to retire his number on Sunday, Winthrop in town. And Paul George will be here with a special guest. I kind of know who it is, but I don't want to say. But if you want, I got 4 pair of tickets Vivian brought over. Also, I have some game day live tickets. You can have a chance to win some football tickets here at 10 Tavern. You want to come down right now, put your name in the bucket right in front of me, and you have a chance to win some games or the big game tomorrow. Utah State's in town at 4 o'clock. Let's go right now as he's heading up the hills. The head coach of the Madera South Stallions and, of course, my radio partner on Thursdays on the Rise, Matty J. Matt, congratulations. Huge win last night.
Well, thank you, Pat Meter. I'm just kind of recovering my voice back. It was one of those games that most of the coaches around the Valley who have been in those classic games of great matchups and energy, I feel like it. I've been 14 rounds with Rocky Alboa. Alboa, I've got one more round left to go watch Yosemite tonight.
Yeah, that was when I kept getting the reports. You're down. You're up 21-14. Oh, now you're down 28-21. Oh, you tie it. I'm thinking this is a great game. And I talked to the Mission Oaks coaching staff. They said it's one of the greatest games they have ever been involved with. And so tell me about, you're up 21-14, and I think that was a halftime score, right?
Yeah. I'm glad you got a chance to talk with Mission Oak. Their coaching staff, their players, they responded real well from that catastrophe of a deal last week against Delano. They were ready to play. They were nothing but first class. They gave a showing that was really second to none. I'm so proud of the way they played. Their quarterback, number 7, we're going to have him on the air, Nick, on one of our shows. Outstanding. Now, he didn't play against us in the first time around, and this guy is as good a quarterback as far as keeping the play alive and really keeping his cool, as good as any quarterback we've played all year. Very impressed with Mission Oak. But, yeah, we were down 21. We went up 14-0 early, and it looked like it might be a pretty good, easy road for us. And then, like in a classic championship battle, they started digging in and started making clawing their way back. So, yeah, it was 21-14 at half.
Hey, before we keep talking about football, I just want to throw it out there. We lost a treasure. Steve Sabonia passed away yesterday, and one of the great trainers we've ever had. And I think he was ahead of his time because, and I'll tell the story before after you get it. But Steve Sabonia, when you heard that, were you like, "Whoa, that's so sad"?
Yes, definitely. You know, Steve's had an opportunity. We had some great memories with Steve Cibone, you and I. I remember at the Valley Masters track meet at Buchanan. He I needed some help on my knee, and he bent me down right on the field and started working on my knee. And you were looking at me with my eyes wide open, like, "What is he doing?" And he worked my knee back and forth. Steve Cibone, and more than that, you know what he's done for Fresno State and everybody else that's been in contact with him. Just a real sad day for all of us as Fresno State and Fresno people.
One story I'll never forget, when you and I were doing the Rice Show and you were coaching at Edison back in the day, and Steve came on and says, "Well, I train Clovis West, and then yeah. before about 10:30 in the morning, I chop up almonds, and then we give them a little snack at 11, and then at 1:30 to get another snack, I chop up some more." And you're like, "This is what we're dealing with here. We're going against guys like this. Our guys are getting Snicker bars and Mountain Dew all day, and this is what we're competing against." I'll never forget when you said that. It was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, Steve was anybody who had a chance to work with Steve, he was ahead of the curve when it came down to proper balance of nutrition and how you prepare on a day-to-day basis for any athletic contest. Like I said, we're going to miss Steve, and our thoughts and prayers go out to the family. A great man and a great friend. And I'm just glad that, Nick, that you are in a position to continue to recognize and talk about great leaders of our Valley like Steve Cibone.
Yeah, and you know, there were so many parents, we're talking with Matty J, so many parents that were like, "Hello, yeah, I'm, you know, Garrett is going to be training with Steve Cibone today." It was like the thing to do for about 10 solid years. You know, he was the guy.
Yeah, and he had that workouts going on over there at
Sierra
Racquet Club and all that. And I came out there out in the field going through cones and drills and bungee cord workouts and everything. Like I said, he was really ahead of the curve when it came down to training the athletic mind and body. It was classic.
No question about it. So I think, and like I said yesterday on the Rice Show, if you win on a Thursday night in the first round of the tournament, you were ahead of the game, because now you get to go out and watch who you're going to play next week. Now, if Fireball pulls the upset, you're at home next week on Friday night in Madera. If Yosemite wins tonight, you're on the road. I'm sure you're rooting for Fireball to win tonight.
Well, it'd be nice to have a home playoff game. I just can't, you know, I don't know enough about both teams, but from what I've seen and what I've gathered, it's going to be an absolute monumental tall task for Fireball to beat Yosemite. So I pretty much bank on the fact that we're going to climb up the mountain next week and go take on the Yosemite Badgers.
And let's talk about last night. Tell me about your quarterback, because I'm gonna get it out there now. He is going to be the Pag Meter First String Sports Student Athlete of the Week. He gets it done in the classroom. But tell me about your quarterback last night.
Well, you know, the first thing is what you just mentioned. He's a 4.0 student athlete. In the purest forms. I mean, he's a volleyball, basketball, track and field, football guy that never really wanted to play football. Over time, I had to convince him that, you know, why wouldn't you play? Because he tried it, and he would try it, and he wasn't bad at it, but he'd always end up wanting to quit or not wanting to continue the season. And we found out that he had this thing, this real stress disorder that would not allow him to feel capable of playing a football game on game day. It was almost like the worst form of stage fright you could ever imagine. So our great athletic director, Andrea Devine, had many, many meetings with him, and I did too. And we just kept working with him through the spring and summer to try to see if he'd stick with the football team. And, boy, we're sure glad he did, because he turned out to be a great leader and a real inspirational force. You know, we've had a real tough football season. I'm not going to kid anybody to think that we're all that. We're just trying to survive right now, you know, game by game, like anybody would. But with Isaiah Tyler, we feel like we've got a chance in every game we play in the playoffs now, because he's that type of impact football player. Very, very fast. And now we're starting to learn how to throw the ball a little bit overhand. He's an outstanding weapon for us.
Well, I think you guys coached him up. Let go of my Gallegos has done such a good job on his play action passing that it, when we broadcasted that game, he faked me out several times. He does a great job, and that's the key to a quarterback running your style offense.
Well, every team we played probably after Kerman pretty much dedicated 14 guys on the line of scrimmage against us, and it made it very difficult. And certainly when you're playing against the CMAC conference opponent, not being able to really affect and push the ball into other areas over the football field really is damaging to try to consistently move the football. But over time, he's begun to really pick it up. And last night, he was as strategic and good as he's been all year. And I think that was probably, you talked to the Mission Oak coach, that was probably the difference, is he was able to complete some balls downfield. And that really opened up things for us. But yeah, thanks for mentioning that. But yeah, Isaiah Kyler is somebody that, as a coach, you don't get these kind of kids very often to be so proficient and committed in the classroom. You know, he's going to want to go to Cal Poly. He'll probably go to junior college. I don't know if he'll play football or not. That's completely up to him. He has the ability to continue to blossom as a football player. But he's got his life ahead of him to be a great college student at Cal Poly. And I can't wait to watch him grow into a young man.
Well, I can see it. We're talking with Matty J. Of course, we all know Matty J. But I would put him just underneath Jonah Johnson as the two greatest quarterbacks to ever play Madera South.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, you're talking about Jonah Johnson. You're going to get a chance to see him out at City College tomorrow. Now, that dude right there is that's a man right there. Yeah, I don't know exactly what planet he came from, but that's a guy that's put together as good or better than any football player I've ever seen. So to put him in any comparison to Jonah Johnson is really special.
Let's explain to people, because we have a lot of track teams listening. The CMAC, of course, is listening. You're the only Division V team in the United States that has to play with the Division I. There's no one else I've looked. No, I really have. Yeah. I've checked every league out in the United States. Explain how it is when you go to practice and you just played Bullard, and then you got to play in Edison, and then you got to play Singer, and then you got to play Memorial. How do you keep the kids motivated? Because they, you know, going in, this is like a baby brother getting beat up by his big brother every week, and it's just not fun. How do you do it?
Well, first, you got to keep the game and the process as fun as you can. You can't make the thing too big, because then the kids will start looking at you like, I can't continue to go through this kind of punishment mentally more than anything else. It's not physical. I mean, with all due respect to all those great teams, we match up a lot of times physically, but mentally we're just not prepared for the barrage of talent that hits us in the face every down. So I think the big thing is try not to make it where it's a miserable experience. You've got to keep the game light, fun, and keep the kids energetic. Now, I would be lying to you if I told you that it was simple, just as easy as keeping things fun, because when you work with somebody, the mind can only handle so much. I mean, it's just a fact that if you just continue to get disappointment after disappointment, you begin to really doubt yourself, and we do as coaches also. So the big thing is making sure that you've gained trust, making sure that you have such a good relationship with the young student-athlete that they'll continue to go to battle with you. It's not easy, but I've got a great coaching staff and a great group of young kids and administrators that understand that, you know, sometimes it's damaging and hurtful to a lot of people when you get a big loss like we had time after time. But they understand. The district understands the bigger picture. We're trying to transform young lives, and I think that for the most part, we've done a very successful job with that. And I just can't explain to you the pain of the eyes inside some of these young men when they go through these 60-6, 56-14 type ball games. They look at you like, I thought you told me if I did this, and this, that we would be okay. And I did this, and this. And this guy just went right around me like I was a hot knife through butter. Coach, I don't know what to do. And they cry. And you just continue to tell them that, guys, it would be no different if you were a 135-pound lightweight world champion. How do you think you'd do against the heavyweight? How do you think you would do in the ring against a light heavyweight or a middleweight boxer or a mixed martial artist who outweighs you by 50 pounds? It's not going to go very well. But you have to continue to believe. You have to continue to fight. And at the end of it all, you will be playoff qualified. You'll have an opportunity to hopefully go toe-to-toe with schools and opponents that look and feel very much like you. And that's what it was like playing Mission Oak last night. We finally got an opponent, it's been a while, that really matched up well against us. And you could see in the game that the kids were starting to get that mojo back, a little bit of that, you know, feeling like they can knock people down too. And that's what it's all about. And thank God the playoffs hit when they did, because I don't know how much more our football team could take it.
Hey, Coach, you told me to contain him, to keep him in the backfield and not go around me, and he jumped right over me. Well, there's nothing you can do about that. Well, you told me. Yeah, I would understand that. You can only do so much to keep him motivated, and every week you get back on the bus on the way home and, you know, you get those lopsided scores. Someday we're going to get you on a real league that you'll have fun with 10 games and not just 5. That's my goal. I'm going to work on it until it happens.
Well, one day that'll happen. In the meantime, we're in the playoffs. We're as hungry as any football team out there, and I just enjoy the great game of high school. You know, you and I, but I always like to leave any conversation I have with you and letting all the high school football coaches know that we care and we respect the heck out of all of you, for all of you that go through this journey in all the sports of high school. You know, there's someone that's in the corner for you, and that's Nick Papagni and, of course, myself. And, Nick, the work you do, I'm on you a lot. You and I had a nice slug it out last night on our show regarding that fight out in Delano. But I want everybody to know that the amount of time and effort that you put in the Pag Meter to keep this thing alive, this recognition of all the great high school sports out there, it's phenomenal, it's excellent, and we as high school football coaches and coaches throughout the Valley, we really appreciate you, kid.
Oh, Matty J, I appreciate you saying that. But, you know, it's fun. We love doing it because we have so many great people out there in the high school world that doesn't get enough love anymore. And so we had to keep the fire going, right?
Yeah, it's a shame you can't really pick up the paper. Some people still do. But you used to pick up the paper and read all these great stories of each contest that were the big ones around the Valley every week. And looking forward to the Andy Bogard's articles and talking about, you know, the all-stars and the pictures and the mugshots of every high school kid out there. And we just lost that. And you're about the only, if not the only, news source out there that still continues to keep this thing alive. And we really need it. The kids need it, and they certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, I think when Andy Bogart retired, that's when the Fresno Bee pretty much fell off the earth. It was over after that, and it is sad. But we got to keep moving on. It's high school football. Now, you're now in the playoffs. You're past the tournament now. I had you a 6 seed, and I don't know how you got a 10 seed, but you know what? It is what it is. And tell me, because you had to play on a Thursday night, it's never easy. How are the kids today? I guess with a win, it's a lot easier to get to school in the morning than it when you lose.
Oh, yeah. You know, Mission Oak beat us up pretty good. It was a physical game. But, yeah, they showed up bright and early at 7 a.m. for the morning flush during zero period. You know, for the most part, we got a couple guys injured. But for the most part, we're just banged up. But it's, as you said, I mean, when you win, the coffee tastes a little bit sweeter.
Yeah.
You know, everything, the sun was bright and shiny, and the kids were all excited and telling stories. That meal stop on the way home from Tulare last night was spectacular with hearing the great stories of the game. And once again, you know, I couldn't say this enough, but it goes, I have to say it, Mission Oak, tremendous. It's one of those classic games where there has to be a winner and a loser, but that team deserved to win just as much as we did. They showed their heart and their character as good as any school we've ever played against. You know, the funny thing is, Nick, if I may add a little side story to this, I believe it was 2009. I was part of a football team at Edison High School, and we went down to Tulare at Bob Mathias Stadium in the semifinals to take on arguably the greatest Division II football team program that's ever laced them up in this valley, and that's Tulare Union.
The Max Shue era, yes.
Yeah. I think Tulare Union at the time had won 26 games in a row. I think they were something like hadn't lost a game at home in 30 tries or some crazy number. Three Division I football players, one of them Marquise Wilson, the wide receiver that went off to Washington State and played for the Buffalo Bills. Edward Dillon Hunt, who went off to Fresno State. And they had so many good quality football players. We took our team into there in that same stadium, And the game was exactly the same as it was for, with the Mission Oak game last night. And we ended the game on the strength of the foot of our kicker. And Edison, our kicker, was a sophomore defensive back, the nephew of Tim McDonald. And he laced like a 29 or 32-yard field goal when he hadn't hit one all year to win the game over Tulare Union. And last night, I told the kids before the game, the last time we were in this, I was in this stadium, we were on our way to a championship, and we had to beat Tulare Union, an undefeated division, a Division II number one rated team, number three in the Valley all divisions, and we had to do it on a field goal. And tonight I feel like this is the kind of game it's going to be, so hang in there. And I'll be doggone, it finished up in overtime on the strength of Anthony Vaca and his powerful right leg to win the game. That was absolutely magical last night.
What a game, 35-34 in overtime. Madera South will play the winner of Fireball versus Yosemite tonight, and you're heading up the hills, correct?
Heading up the mountain, and going to get ready to enjoy one of the great picturesque settings of all high school football up at their place in the great town of Oakhurst.
Yeah, that's if Fireball pulls the shocker upset, you will host Fireball on Friday night at Madera, because Madera will be on the road till that stadium's open. If Yosemite wins and you got to get that bus going again up the hills, that's going to be good. I think Division Five is going to be a battle with so many good teams. The game we're doing tonight, Reedley, and that's another Division Five team, is hosting Emmanuel. And see, this is why I like to do Division Five. They got parking set for Jason Drinking B. Murray and I. You know, you go to a D1, Matt, we got nothing.
Yeah. I saw that. There's nothing like, and it's not just D5, D4, D3, D2. There's still a few D1 teams out there that really put on a show. I'll tell you this much. There's something special about these smaller communities, mid-sized communities, and the show that they put on Friday nights. I don't blame you for wanting to do a lot of those kind of games, because you do get treated a little bit different, and they really appreciate seeing the Pag Meter and the ESPN crew showing up for those big games.
Do you feel like this would be like Edison playing Washington Union? I'm just looking at the neighborhood style, maybe a Central Edison. They've never played each other. Emmanuel is an eight iron away from Reedley. They've never played each other, and they finally, the little brother gets to play the big brother.
Oh, yeah, without question, it's a classic matchup of two schools that are so close in proximity, two schools that share so many quality student-athletes, and then more importantly, two schools that have kind of rebounded from disasters and have put themselves back in the picture as far as football mentality goes. It's going to be a great one, and you picked the perfect game for you and Jason Drink and Be Merry.
Hey,
you picked a great game,
Matt,
for you and Jason to go get. I love you when you come up with these. What's the name? Chris Berman. You come up with all these great nicknames. That's definitely the Pag Meter style, but you're going to have a good time out there in Reedley.
So, Matt, you beat Mission Oaks for the second time in 1 year, which, you know, that's the old cliche in football. Oh, it's tough to beat someone again. Why is that? Why? Because, for example, I'm going to pick your brain on this, because Clovis West takes on Clovis North right down the road. And last time I, Pag Meter, picked Clovis North beating Clovis West, and Clovis West thumped the Broncos. They play again tonight. Why is it so hard to beat someone again?
Well, sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes it's not so difficult. It's all depending, in my humble opinion, on what type of game it was the first go around. If it's a 55-14 game, that's all the advantage goes to the big time winner, because you've really tore the psychology effect right out of the guts of your opponent. But when you play a team tough like Clovis West, Clovis North, and of course we played Bishop the first time, beat them 14-7. Or 21-14, excuse me. When you play a game like that, you know that it could have gone either way. So it's tough to rear up the troops and get them back on point when the other team that lost has such an incentive to make things right from what they feel should have been the victory the first go around. And that's exactly what usually happens. In the rematch, the team that got beat the first time, I think, always has the advantage because for whatever reason, it might be cliche, but it's proven to be the truth in most professional and college sports. It's tough to beat the same team twice when you have such a even playing field of competitive nature. So, a Clovis West, Clovis North game is going to be a good one. I picked Clovis West. I was wrong. first time around.
Well, yeah, I think we you won. Clovis West beat him 41-13. I lost that one. So now I think Clovis West wasn't believing in the 6-0 hype. They're like, you guys aren't that good. We played a much tougher schedule, and you know the big tension mounting with the big bear George Petrasson's coming back playing his old team. Clovis West took care of business. Now, you know, can they do that again?
No, I don't think they can. I really don't. And I apologize. You know, this is what happens. Like I said, when you went to bed about 4 a.m. today, I should say. No, Clovis, I did pick Clovis West over Clovis North, and I felt the same way. The Clovis West has just their strength of schedule, who they've played against, and how they showed in those kinds of games. I thought leading into the first go-around was a clear-cut favorite over Clovis North. I still feel the same way. Very impressed with Clovis West, what they've been able to do this year. So I don't think it's going to be. I was talking about, what was the last game that you and I had that argument over where you picked it one way, I picked it the other way, and we basically didn't see it coming. I thought I saw it coming. I think it was the Clovis game. What was the last game that Clovis Cougars played?
No, you picked Clovis West. I took Clovis in the big one, the Ryder Cup.
There you go. Trophy. That's what it was. It was Clovis West, Clovis. In the Clovis North game, I think Clovis West is just a superior team all the way around. I think it could very well be very competitive, but I really like Clovis West over Clovis North.
I think one to keep an eye on tonight out in Bakersfield, I'm calling it now, Clovis East takes down the Drillers. It's going to be my upset of the night. Keep an eye on the Clovis East T-Wolves. And the reason why I say that, Matt, Clovis,
yes.
Bakersfield has not seen an offense, the wing T style team all year long. And you can't take 4 days to come and try to prepare for that. It's impossible.
Yeah, except for the fact that Clovis East and that double wing, what they bring to the party, it's pretty well established. This is what we're going to do. It's going to be super powered. Now, clearly, they've got some stuff they do off of that. But I've never seen a school, at least of the game film I've seen on Clovis East, the mentality is so perfect. It's such an identity. They're coming out. They're just going to want to use their weight room versus yours and just try to steamroll you with number advantages of bringing everybody to the party, which I call the superpower. And that's what they do. And if Bakersfield has enough up front, which I have not seen Bakersfield all year long on tape, if they don't have enough up front, you're right. That's going to be a hard, hard game for Bakersfield to get over. And Bakersfield's going through all kinds of problems right now. Kids are transferring. Things are happening down there. So I agree with you. I think Clovis East has a real shot. If not, should be the favorite in that game.
You know, before I let you go, I have to say that.
Before I let you go, Bob. You know,
the change of subject a little. Pat Sajak from Wheels of Fortune, I'm just looking at my Twitter feed. He's having undergo emergency surgery, and I'm looking at Vanna White. She's been looks the same since 1964. Unbelievable. She's going to take over the show for a little while. Is it me, or she hasn't aged a bit in 40 years?
Well, she's aged a bit, pal.
Really?
Welcome to television and the miracle of TV. I've seen her actually in person, real life, last year.
Oh, of course,
down in Burbank at the Burbank Studios, and she's beautiful. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, she's aged. But they can really set you up nicely on TV. It's not like radio. They have to work on you on TV, and they do a great job of it.
That's why I have a radio face. Of course, this is what we do. All right, Matt, I'll let you go. Have fun tonight at Yosemite. Keep me updated. I love the people at Yosemite. They're one of my favorites. Rusty, the AD, and everybody up there do a great job. So be nice if you have to play the Washington or the Yosemite Badgers. Be nice to them, but keep me updated tonight.
You got it, and you have a good time out at Reedley. And Pirates, I like the Pirates. I love their coach. I wish the best for Emmanuel also, but I like the Pirates. Should be a good one.
Tony Gates. See, he's going to give me a shirt tonight, a sweatshirt. So, I don't know. I haven't got anything from the South yet.
Well, I've got a hat for you, Nick. I forgot to bring it to the show last week. I'll bring it to you.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a quick break, Matt. Come up with the – tomorrow, the PAG meter is going to be the PA announcer, special guest PA announcer for the Fresno City Rams COS Giants tomorrow. We're going to talk with both coaches really fast. Joe DiAgostino is going to join me next. Pat Ware's in the house. If you have any baseball questions for the legendary Pat Ware, you better get a hold of message me now because he's – full of information He's in the house. We're going to talk with Tony Gavilli as well. So don't go anywhere. We got a full great show here at 10 Tavern. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Zone Show, 10 Tavern. We'll be right back.
You're in the Zone. Sponsored by Blast & Brew, fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agra Enterprises, and 10 Tavern with the Pag Meter and Big Cat Nick Anderson on 940 ESPN.
You are in the Zone here on a Friday afternoon. The Big Cat Nick Anderson on location. He's out checking out high school basketball for me because the Pag Meter preseason rankings are going to come out soon. Football cranking. Basketball is going to be get going. People are already asking for my preseason baseball rankings. We still got to get through wintertime first, but that's what how we roll here. Here at 10 Tavern on the corner of Willow and Nice, right underneath the clock. This is where you want to be. The great place on the northeast side of the valley in Fresno / Clovis is 10 Tavern, a full-on bar. They got a room next door called The Table. If you want to rent it out for your birthday, your Christmas parties, you better call Amy Bo Peep early and get that thing filled out and scheduled, because and you could do family style eating in there. It's outstanding. Pat Ware joining me now, the assistant baseball coach from the from Fresno State. How are you, Coach?
I'm good, Nick. How are you?
Good. Well, you're going to have to help me interview. We're going to have do we have JoJo on the line? JoJo, we got another JoJo. Joe. Okay, well, we're going to get a hold of Joe DiAgostino. He's waiting for us, so I just gave it to Joe. So if you can call him right now, he's ready to rock and roll. Patrick, I like to call you Patrick. It sounds smart. Yeah, I'll give it to you again. You look on your text. I just gave it to you. Oh, wow. God, I'm just losing it. Okay, hold on. Stand by. It is, okay, you're right. Pag Meter messed up, Pat. How are you?
I'm good. Enjoying a nice glass of water right now after practice.
Baseball weather still.
It is. It feels like the spring.
What's going on out here?
Well, I don't know if it's global warming or I don't know if it's just Fresno, but we've got a good, long, warm fall.
And what's going to happen? It's going to go from about 80 to 39 overnight. Once a little rains. One little rain, and it's over.
Then the fog hits. Yeah. Then the grass grows. Then we're ready for baseball.
Then you're ready for baseball, and it's always good. Tell me about football or baseball wise. Do you like to? Are you a fall ball guy for high school?
Yeah, you know the times in my previous life when I coached high school before I went to Fresno State in 2005, I always coached high school football also. So we never really had fall ball. I'd have my assistants run it, but most of our kids, whether it was at Washington Union or Dinuba or at Central. All of our better players played football, and I think that's why they were our better players. So fall ball was not emphasized as much. When I went back to high school at Clovis East a handful of years ago, very few of our kids played football, and I think that was a reflection of where the program had gotten. And there's a little more required now than there was in the early 2000s of a high school baseball coach, and so we did run a comprehensive fall ball workout program. I kind of modeled it after what we had done at Fresno State and Washington State in terms of skill instruction and some team time. And you do get to learn your kids. I mean, there's a huge benefit. But at that age, that level of athlete where 1% of them are going to go on after high school and play anything, to give up the experience of being a multi-sport athlete, whether it's football or water polo or another fall sport, I just think that's the one time in your life where if you're still enjoying another sport, you can still do it. You know, if you do get a chance to play in college, you don't get to do that. And most kids don't. So the fall ball for me at the high school level is a little bit overrated. And unfortunately, I think it puts kids in a position where they feel like they can't play multiple sports.
Yeah. Let's catch up right now. Tomorrow, Pag Meter is going to be behind the PA announcing for, I'm calling it the Italian Bowl, because high school-wise, I used to do the Armenian Bowl with Donnie Arax and Chuck Shadan, very rare.
And Wayne Kaligian.
And Wayne Kaligian. But tomorrow, you got Joe DiAgostino, the coach of COS, Tony Cavilli, another Italian stallion. They're going to square off at Radcliffe at 1 o'clock. And this time we got JoJo on the line. Joe, how are you today?
I'm good, Nick. How are you?
Good. I call it the Italian Bowl tomorrow. Tell me about the rivalry between COS and Fresno City College, because I'm the special guest PA announcer tomorrow. I'm excited. Should be a big crowd. Yeah. Tell me about what your players, because they've all grown up with each other, with Fresno players.
Yeah, I think it's a unique situation. You know, we're only 40 miles apart from each other, and Coach C's done a really great job of kind of making Fresno City the earmark program in our area for JUCO football. And we're just excited to play, and like you said, a lot of these kids grew up playing against each other, so it kind of makes it a little more fun.
Hey, Coach, where are you guys sitting right now in terms of conference play?
We are second behind both Fresno and Modesto. So if we've got two games remaining. Fresno has not lost a conference game yet. So, you know, they kind of control their own destiny with tomorrow's game. Kind of gives whoever wins the inside track on winning the conference. So it's going to be pretty exciting.
Talk with Joe DiAgostino, the head coach of the COS Giants. Are you playing your Giant great football right now? Are you peaking at the right time?
Yeah, you know, Nick, I've been really proud of this group of kids and the staff. And you know, at this time last year, we had won two games. And for us to be at 5-3, we're kind of taking a step in the right direction. And I think we're playing pretty well. And, you know, we're just going to give it our best shot tomorrow and see how it goes. But it'll be exciting. It'll be good football. It's a good brand of football, and it'll be fun to play the game tomorrow. And I think we're looking forward to it.
Coach, who's starting at quarterback for you tomorrow?
Gus Villarreal from Dinuba. He's done a really good job. He's in his second year with us, and so he's kind of coming on and really starting to take command of the offense. He's had some really good games. So I'm looking forward to him leading the guys.
Coach, what's the X factor tomorrow for COS to pull the win at Ratcliffe Stadium?
And you better we got to bring our lunch pail, because Coach C's kids are tough, physical kids, and they've got a lot of experience. You know, last year we went all the way to the NorCal title game. This year they've been really, really they're well prepared and they're well coached, and we've got to bring our hard hat and go to work and try to control the line of scrimmage the best we can. And if we can do that, then we got a chance. But they've got some players, and we're going to have a work cut out for us. Like I said, you know, Coach C and those guys have done a really good job of kind of making Fresno the earmark program for JUCO in our area. And we're just excited to be playing meaningful games in November. And our kids are excited about the opportunity to compete against one of the better teams.
You've got a good situation in terms of recruiting down there, being kind of sandwiched in between Bakersfield, Tulare, and Fresno. It looks like, when I'm looking at your roster, you're able to pull kids from the Fresno area, from some of the bigger high schools, and from some of the county high schools as well, like Dinuba and like Tulare Western and like Tulare. And when you recruit a kid that comes in at the junior college level, is there a bigger period of growth for those county kids versus the track type of player or the CMAC type of player?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, it just depends on the player. If you're the best player on your team and you're from Exeter, Woodlake, Kingsburg, Lemoore, Hanford, I don't think it matters. I think it's just, we're just trying to get the best players that we can from all these local high schools to kind of come in and gel and create like a South Valley All-Star type team, and then allow, you know, our weight room program and some of that stuff to kick in effect. And I think playing at a higher level and opening up your recruitment window for longer and getting you a little bit better exposure is kind of the goal. And, you know, since I took over, we've done a really good job of kind of recapturing our area. And I give a lot of credit to our local high school coaches who have, you know, kind of welcomed me in and allowed me to come in and recruit their areas. And, you know, the people at Tulare Western, Tulare Union, all the Visalia schools, Hanford and Lemoore, have been really, really welcoming, and I'm really thankful for that.
We're talking with Joe DiAgostino, the head coach of the COS Giants. And, of course, you might get that phone call from some kid from South Florida. How do you handle that when you get, hey, because junior colleges here in California, we got treasures, and a lot of kids back east might want to, you know, come to California, play for junior college. How do you do it? You just start playing with the game film and see what they got before you get really serious about a kid?
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest thing, Nick, is to try to vet them out and talk to their high school coaches and a teacher and a counselor, get some kind of reference point, because you want to make sure you're getting a high-character kid, because talent is secondary to character for us. And so we really want to look at the content of what we're going to get before we agree, because we've seen some film on some great players that we just don't feel that they're the right fit for us or the right type of player to be in a situation where they're going to kind of be on their own and have to be self-sufficient, and we don't want to take on any liability. And so it becomes a really delicate balance with our recruiting to make sure you get the right kind of kid here and make sure they have parent involvement, you know, and that they come from a good high school program and they're the right kind of kid. And I think we've done a good job with the group of kids that we brought in the last year and a half to kind of really vet out the ones that don't really fit the mold that we're looking for.
That's perfectly said, Coach. When you're recruiting a kid, the way they fit into your program, the way they handle going to class, the way they handle getting in the weight room makes all the difference in the world, regardless of their 40 time or how big they are or how much they can bench press. If they're not bought into what you want them to do, it's not going to work. And it sounds like your record this year is reflective of the fact that you've got those type of kids in your program.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think, you know, we talk a lot about in the recruiting process about relationships, not rules. And, you know, we want to have good relationships with our players and make sure that, you know, they're the kind of kid that we want to be here. And we're going to spend a lot of time with them, and they're going to spend a lot of time with us. And we got to make sure that we have a relationship that can sustain not only the time they're here, but, you know, hopefully it's a relationship that carries on when they move on and they look back with fondness about their experience. Because their experience in junior college in California is going to represent 50% of their college career. And so we want to make sure that they're here for the right reason and they're here to do the right thing. And it's academics and football and then, you know, on to the next level wherever the good Lord wants to send you.
Well, Coach, best of luck tomorrow. I know it'll be a good crowd out tomorrow. A lot of CUS Giant fans will be making the trip down 99 or up to 99. And I'm looking forward to the big game. So we'll see you tomorrow. Best of luck.
All right. Thanks a lot, Nick. I appreciate you, as always.
You got it. Joe DiAugustino, the head coach. And Pat, Pat Ware is joining me now. But you're right. It's about recruiting, getting the right guy in. But you don't know when all of a sudden a kid calls from South Florida. And he looks good on film, but sometimes you got to go, well, he's 6'5".
Yeah, and even, you know, with the recruiting budget of most junior colleges, you're not hopping on a plane to go watch that kid play or meet his family or go into the living room. But that's the biggest part of recruiting is you can see what you see. You can watch the film. You can get them on a stopwatch. You can get their weight room numbers from their coach. But if the kid isn't the right type of kid for your coaching staff's personality and your system, they're never going to develop to be the player you need them to be. And that part's 100% character. Well, I think over the years, not just at college and not just in recruiting, but as a high school coach too. I mean, that's got to be a huge part of your team's culture.
And we're going to talk about in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to catch up with Tony Cavillion when we come back from Fresno City. But 2008, when you won the World Series, I'm sure kids were calling you all over the country.
You know, it's funny. It really didn't change our recruiting all that much. I think kids are attracted to the type of school they're attracted to. It was always difficult for us to pull a South Orange County kid away from Irvine, Fullerton, Long Beach, just because that's where they lived. So it really didn't change who we went after or how we went after them. We stuck mostly with, you know, North County, San Diego, Inland Empire, Northern California, Sacramento, South Bay, and then, of course, locally as much as we can. To come to Fresno State and to be a Bulldog, it's a fit also. You got to be the type of kid that likes living in the valley. You got to like to hunt and fish. You got to like to be in a college environment. You got to appreciate having a football team, go watch games and basketball. Whereas, you know, the kid that wants to go to a commuter school like Fullerton and just play baseball, it's a different type of kid. We got some calls from some kids out of the area. So we chased that a little bit, but we mostly stuck to kind of what got us there, which was local, tough type of kids.
We got great baseball here. We'll talk about that in the 5 o'clock hour. Let's take a break. We're going to catch up with Tony Cavillion because a big one tomorrow, 1 o'clock at Ratcliffe Stadium. And you got time to go watch Fresno City play COS and then go to the Bulldog game as they take on Utah State at 4 o'clock. So it's a doubleheader action tomorrow. Let's take a break. We'll find out about the Fresno City Rams when we come back. Pat Ware in the house. Joining me now is the Big Cats on location. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Zone Show here at 10 Tavern. We'll be right back. You are in the zone on a Friday afternoon. The big cat, Nick Anderson, on location. It's basketball season, so I have him out looking at basketball teams so I can get my preseason rankings going. And he said, yuck, yeah. He's going to be going looking at basketball. Monday, by the way, if you're into basketball, they have a great scrimmage over at Clovis West. All the who's who from Clovis West, Bullard, Memorial, and then some. Or is that at Clovis West? I think it starts in midday. I could be once I get that schedule, I'll put it on my Twitter, and so you can go out and get ready for basketball. We're here live at 10 Tavern in the corner of Willow and Nice, right underneath the big clock. This is a great, one of the best places on the east, northeast side of Fresno Clovis, and it's just a full-on bar. They got a catering. They got the table next door if you want to rent that out. But fantastic food right down the neighborhood, wherever you live, but this is, you don't have to travel far. 10 Tavern, come over here and try it out. It's one of the hottest new places in town. Also, thank you to Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC. If you're a farmer out there, call the experts. Call Tiffany in the office and direct you to the right place. If you have any questions, at 559-261-9030. I'm joined now Pat Ware, the assistant baseball coach over at Fresno State. Pat, we're going to have fun in the 5 o'clock hour.
I'm excited about it.
Well, let's go to Fresno City, Rackliff Stadium. You've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
Head coach Tony Gaviglia, and I'll be behind the PA announcing tomorrow. I'm excited for the big COS Fresno City game, and Tony's joining us now. Tony, how are you?
Great. Hey, Pat, how are you?
Coach C, I'm good. How are you? I'm reading your bio right now, and it seems like you just got to Fresno City College, but it's been 18 seasons.
No, it's a little bit longer than that.
Man.
It's 21 now.
Oh, so we got to update the bio at Fresno City College.
The bio is not updated, yeah, correct.
You got to be close to 200 wins now, or past
close.
That, maybe.
Close, yeah.
You know what it means when you've coached and won a lot of games.
I mean, you're old, yeah. I know
that's
that.
Right. That's right.
Well, Tony would rather sometimes talk baseball because of his son Nick's at Utah. We'll talk that too, but let's talk about the big game first. Fresno City COS, one of the great California rivalries in junior college football. How long? I mean, this is a rivalry. The kids know each other. They all, you know, when you go to place junior college, you don't know, well, am I going to go COS or Fresno City? So a lot of those kids you might have lost, and you get to play against them tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, this game's been going on since 1948, and there's been some tremendous players that played in this game, and there's been some absolutely hellacious football games to, you know, you think about all the, Jack Maddox talks about the old COS games that they played in, and it's just throw the records out the window. It's a big game, and it's going to be fun to play in.
When I was a kid, my dad was really good friends with Bill Music and Bill Waite and Maddox and Lynn Fauntleroy and that whole group that coached in the late 70s and early 80s. So we got to spend a lot of time as kids on that sideline at Radcliffe and ride the team bus and go down to Bakersfield and play. And that, for me at that age, that's big-time football. And for high school kids, this level is big-time football. You've got Division I athletes all over the field, and they're there for whatever reason. But that COS Fresno City College game, there's going to be a bunch of kids that continue to play at the next level. And the guy at COS has done a good job. You've got a fantastic career and sitting in first place on top of the conference. So this is kind of a step forward game for you guys, I would think.
Yeah, well, you know, we told our kids today that every game we play from now on is a championship game. You know, we control our destiny, which is a good position to be in if we continue to win. We got conference championships on the line. We got NorCal championships on the line. We got state championships on the line. A lot of different things. If we keep playing, win or go home. March Madness. You know, you got to win every game. And you know, I think we're ready. We really had a great week of practice this week. Last week's game was against Modesto, which was ranked three places higher than us. We went up there and we played what I think a season-defining game. You know, we did some things in that game that we had to do to beat a quality team. I think Modesto is probably one of the two best teams we played all year this year. And to come out on top in that game got us in a position to win a championship tomorrow.
We're talking with Tony Caviglia, the head coach of the Fresno City Rams. I'm calling it the Italian Bowl. Joe DiAgostino's the Italian from COS. Tony Caviglia, the Italian coach from Fresno City. This is going to be a lot of fun. Tell me about, and I love him. I think he's one of the best. I think he's the best competitor I've seen in a long time. Jonah Johnson, your quarterback. Tell me about him.
Yeah, you know, Jonah's one of those guys that, you know, you wish you can keep him with you all the time. You know, he's such a humble person. He's a gentleman. You know, he does everything right and everything to the best of his ability. He's quiet. He's a quiet leader. The kids rally around him. On this campus, he's respected. And he's doing it the right way. And he's doing it with class. And he's doing it with humility. And let alone frickin' be able to throw the ball 70 miles an hour. Sorry, 70 yards in the air. I mean, he's a rocket for an arm. I fielded four or five calls today about him from four-year college coaches, and we're trying to figure out what direction he's going to go and where he's going to go next year.
Your roster mainly made up of local kids, Coach?
Yeah. I think 12 out-of-state kids, which is a little bit lower than it's been. But there's no rhyme or reason to how that pans out. It just how it played out this year. And we feel good about, our local recruiting area. Nick and I were talking yesterday. There are so many Fresno City College football players that are coaching now up and down the valley, and it's a great network for kids who don't get what they want at a high school. If they don't get a chance to go play at the four-year college, give them a chance to continue to play football and change their maybe change their profile. Maybe they got to do some things academically. Maybe they're changing a position, which happens a lot. Whatever it takes for them to grow and get another shot at getting to the four-year college, we like to provide that opportunity.
Well, that's such an important part of what is done at the junior college level by coaches, is you do have a kid that might be a non-qualifier that needs to get the AA degree or put themselves in a position academically to go to the four-year level or the Division I level or Division II level, whatever it may be, and that's such a big part of your job that we don't necessarily have to deal with at the Division I level because the kids are already there. But you really have to dig in with those kids and they may not have ever had that type of mentor before. And to see the number of kids that you guys have moved on from your program, and Ron's done it too in baseball, really is a testament to all you do with them off the field.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The big thing is at this level, we have these kids, this team together for one season. Half this team's going to be gone next year. We got half our team's in high school right now, so we got to recruit them in here, and then we got to help them get recruited out of here. And it's both sides. You got to do your due diligence to really get get them in and get them coached up and then find a place for them to go on next year. And that's our mission. I mean, we're all about just getting kids to the next level. And, if we're talented, if we got good athletes like we've had for as long as I've been here, and they play the game the way it's supposed to be played and they have a positive attitude, that equals winning. But the mission of our program is to get kids, just like Fresno City College in general, it's to get our kids to four-year colleges or in a trade or something, where they could be productive in society.
That's the most important part of coaching. I think all of us at times lose sight of that when we're trying to win or trying not to lose or trying to get to the playoffs. But at the end of the day, the kids that come back with their degrees and their families, that's what you've really done for them.
Exactly. And that's our mission.
We're talking with Tony Caviglia, the head coach of the Fresno City Rams. Well, yesterday when I was in your office, I thought there was an eclipse. All of a sudden the sun just ended and I couldn't see. It's because your nose tackle walked in. Tell me about this kid from Green Valley. Is it Jay Kakavia? Tell me about him. He is a man beast.
Jay just left the office right before you guys called, and He grew up here in Fresno. He grew up and went to McLean High School, and his father got a job. He's a Samoan pastor in Henderson, Nevada. So he's junior and senior year. He was in he went to school in Henderson, and he was at two different high schools and had some, you know, core class issues, and he called and said he wanted to come back to Fresno and play for the Rams, and man, I tell you what, that was a great day. He's been nothing but a positive person in our program. He's always upbeat. He's smiling. He's he's an ultimate team guy, and that's really important to us over here. Let alone he's hard to block, and he's another one we're going to miss when he leaves.
Well, you know, I got Pat Ware sitting right here from Fresno State. It looks like you have a great relationship with Jeff Tedford at Fresno State. How important is that to have the locals college with you guys being friends and you can relate and talk to them about players?
Yeah, and Rick Scheidt was Jeff's graduate assistant when Jeff was coaching at Fresno State the first time around. We've had a number of players go play for Jeff Tedford's teams over the years, and they've done a tremendous job. Matt Giordano and Maurice, when Jeff was at Oregon, he recruited Maurice Morris, who was arguably the best running back ever to play junior college football. He trusts us, and he sends coaches here. They know our roster up and down, and hopefully we continue to keep getting guys going over there to play.
Coach, when tomorrow's a really big game for you, during those moments when you see a big game on your schedule and you've got it circled, do you ever bring Eric Solberg in to give your team a pep talk?
No, but funny you should say that, Coach Ware. Coach Scott gave a little talk to our team yesterday in our Thursday night meeting, and it was beautiful, as you would know. Coach Scott,
I would imagine it was,
doesn't mince words, and he understands football more than people know. He's a huge football fan, it was nice to hear him talk to the Rams last night.
You know, a lot of people don't know, but when Ted Lilly played at City, Eric Solberg, he was a right-handed pitcher, and Eric Solberg turned him into a left-handed pitcher. And that was probably the key for
Yeah, Eric's had a lot to do with the offense over the years too. He explained to the newspaper once after a game that Fresno City College won that he talked to the hitters about something he's called placement hitting.
Take a lot of pitches?
No, hit the ball where no one's standing.
Oh, that's
Eric,
good.
Eric to this day credits himself with that philosophy.
Yeah,
speaking of baseball, Tony C, we got to talk about baseball. Your son is at Utah. We're talking Nick Cavilla, who's a left-hander now. He's working on it. He's throwing 88 miles an hour. But how is that changeup coming? Because once he gets that, it's over.
Yeah, they asked him at the end of the season last year. He had a good freshman campaign. I think 15 outings or something like that, and got a start against University of Washington up in Seattle. Went one win and two losses. But he's a setup guy. He's a matchup guy right now. But he's loving the staff. He's loving they hired Gary Henderson to be the pitching coach, Mike Crawford was a pitching coach a year ago, and I know Coach Ware knows these guys and really likes Coach Kindenberg and the things that they're doing there. They got some arms in there now, and they really feel like they're going to be a much better team this year. He's doing well in school. They shut him. They scrimmaged BYU. I want to say two Fridays ago, and then it started snowing, and their fall ball was over. it's tough. When we start in January, February, March. They got to practice indoors in the indoor facility because there's snow on the ground last year it was on the ground almost till middle of April. And they play down at Smith's Ballpark, which is an amazing field. They have those heaters underneath the turf. That it's a grass field, and it could be 8 inches of snow on the perimeter, and the field could be bone dry, which is good. But, you know, for a pitcher to throw in the cold weather and the altitude and balls fly out of the place, you know, it's you gotta be able to keep the ball down. You gotta throw the off-speed pitch for strike, and, you know, you got to hold on.
How did Pat Ware let him go out of town?
Pat Ware was coaching at Clovis East.
Okay. But, we'll let that go then.
Jay Brossman, the other assistant at Utah.
Yeah, Jay, yeah.
He was our bat boy when I was in college. His dad, Jack, was an assistant coach at Washington.
You're getting old
State.
Now, Pat.
I know.
Yeah.
Jay was an actual player. I think he's got most of the offensive records at Utah and played a bit in the minor leagues. But his dad was our assistant coach.
I think the big question is, Pat and Tony, is Utah going to be playing Fresno State?
On this year's schedule, I don't believe so.
They're not playing this year. They had them scheduled in San Diego last year. They didn't play.
That would be exciting.
It got rained out.
When I was coaching at Washington State, and obviously Utah's in the Pac-12 as well, we went to Salt Lake, I think it was in 13. Beautiful weekend. We stayed an extra night, drove down to Provo to play BYU on a Tuesday game, and the temperature dropped about 50 degrees in 24 hours.
I get to go there every 5 weeks for my other job, and I love Utah. Yeah. There's nothing like
it. It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Well, I'm so happy for you, Tony, and keep us updated with the Nixter. I'm excited to be behind the microphone tomorrow. It's going to be a good one. Remember, you can have a chance to go watch Fresno City play COS at 1, and then you can still go watch the Bulldogs take on Utah State tomorrow. So it's a doubleheader action tomorrow for Valley Football.
Absolutely. Yeah, good. A lot of good football in town, and it's going to be good to have you on the PA, Nick. We get a lot of comments after you do it, and how come that guy doesn't do it every game, and on and on and on. But usually get one game a year, and we're excited to have you over there too.
Well, we're excited. If I can make it up the stairs, I mean, that's a journey up there. You know, 8,000 feet above sea level when you get up to Ratcliffe.
Well, if Tony Diodato was able to make it back in 2003, you should be able to make it now.
That's true. Yeah, Tony's a legend. Okay, there you go. Well, Tony, best of luck tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. 1:00 tomorrow at Ratcliffe, the Rams versus the Giants. We'll see you tomorrow.
Good luck, Coach C.
Oh. Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Tony C. So football action will be perfect weather tomorrow. Pat, 1:00, be about 75 degrees. Can't beat it. Good old-fashioned Ratcliffe.
That's going to be a great game. Ratcliffe's got such an iconic feel to it also, with all the high school games that have been played there, and it's an old stadium, but it's not run down. It's well-kept, and it's just kind of a fun – it's like Euless. It reminds you of the old days a little bit.
Yeah, we played there back in the day, Buller Knight days. Let's take a quick break. Pat Ware, we're going to talk a little baseball when we come back. And if you have any phone calls, call JoJo in the studio, 844-940-ESPN. Pat is perfect. Little League, a lot of parents are calling me now, emailing me, want to know about Little League. And we'll talk. Coach Pat will tell you when to shut it down and what to do as a Little League dad. Right?
Absolutely.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're in the zone. 10 Tavern, 940 ESPN. We'll be right back.
Your home of Fresno State football. 940 ESPN, KFIG Fresno. You're in the zone. Sponsored by Blast and Brew. Fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agra Enterprises, and 10 Tavern with the Pag Meter and Big Cat Nick Anderson on 940 ESPN.
You were in the zone on a Friday afternoon here at 10 Tavern on the corner of Willow and Nice. Glad you could be with us. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Getting you ready for the weekend. Fresno State, Utah State tomorrow football. Kickoff is at 4:00. I believe game day live is at 1?
Yes.
1:00 tomorrow. So get you ready for the greatest pregame ever. We do have some game day live tickets. If you want to go to the best tailgate on the planet, we have them right here. Mrs. Ware will give you some as you come in here at 10 Tavern. So come on down. We had basketball tickets. They're gone. We had football tickets. I think they're gone. But we do have game day live. I do want to thank Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC. If you're a farmer, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Call them at 559-261-9030. And maybe Andy Lowe up in the mountains will give you a call. He's one of the great guys in the industry. 559-261-9030. Now, if you're going out to high school football tonight, right down the road here is Buchanan. And Clovis West is taking on Clovis North, and Clovis North is starting to come in. I just saw Rich Rodriguez and his lovely wife coming in. Big game tonight. I call this tournament time. Next week, the playoffs start.
I absolutely loved coaching high school football. I loved playing high school football. And with Mike Jaycott at North,
yeah,
and Tim Randall at Clovis West, two of my favorite guys. Mike was at Clovis East when I was there, and I got a chance to know Tim a little bit at Gateway last year when he was teaching there. And really happy to see him get another opportunity as a head coach, and Mike also. Both of those guys have instilled some toughness into their programs, and that's going to be a great game tonight.
Pat Ware in the house, the assistant coach of Fresno City, like our Fresno State. Of course, he's coached football, like you said. So the question is, tonight they play at Buchanan. Last time they played, Pat Beener picked Clovis North to win. Clovis West beat them up 41-13. Why is it so hard to beat a team again the same year?
I don't know. I don't really believe
it's the old cliche.
I don't really believe in momentum. I mean, I think each game is a standalone game. If Tim out-schemes Mike tonight and their kids execute and play better, they're going to win. If Mike does it, they're going to win. I think they're probably pretty evenly matched. From what I hear, and I don't get a chance to go to high school football games anymore, but from what I hear, Clovis West is really athletic and talented. And I know just based on Tim's brain, they're going to be ready to play. And Clovis North, because of Mike's toughness and what he's brought to that program, they're going to be ready to play. So talk about an old cliche. It's not the best team that wins. It's the team that plays the best. That's probably what's going to happen tonight.
So what you're saying is, Pat, whoever scores more points should win this thing.
That's always the case.
Yeah,
whoever scores more is going to win. Yeah.
So I got a question for you in the weight room because I'm Italian. We're not very smart. You're going to get ready to do some bench pressing. You put the 45-pound on one side and nothing on the other. Maybe you want to put two plates on one side and nothing on the other. Why doesn't it tip over?
Well, he might be a one-armed man.
Oh, I didn't think that one through. But it doesn't tip over. Why is that?
I don't know.
It's one of the greatest discoveries ever.
Physics.
Can you imagine
it's
if
all
it did?
Physics.
See, I don't get it. The other question I have, and exactly right down here on Willow and Nice. So for 1,000 years since Freddie Ford invented the car, from day one, you go to the left turn lane, and you're at a stop sign. The left turn lane always empties first. And then when it's over, when the little light sees there's no more cars, and then the other cars coming north and south. But now, Willow and East right here, Clovis had decided in their marketing meeting for some reason, let's change it up. Let's have both the left turn lane and the one going north and south turn it together. But the left turn lane, once the cars are done, it still sits for 5 minutes.
There's a handful of lights like that.
Why?
I don't know.
Who came up with this idea?
It's probably good in all the years I've had to drive around either the state or wherever that I've been alone in the car.
Oh, okay. It's just frustrating to me.
Yes.
I want to get to 10 Tavern, but I got to sit 5 more minutes. And there's no other cars around. What happened to the sensors? You're smarter than me. I'm supposed to ask you these questions.
Let's get back to high school football. yeah. I'm excited for Ryan Reynolds and Clovis East.
I'm picking Clovis East tonight. Pagmeter's saying they're going to have a great bus ride home.
He has really done an unbelievable job there based on what it was when he got there in the weight room with their culture, with their identity, with all of it. And I think not seeing that offense is going to give Bakersfield some fits.
And they haven't seen it all year.
They're in a transition. Gola left, and they've got a new staff. As good as that staff might be, it's still new. So they're probably searching for what their identity is with new coaches and a new system and all that. And Ryan's in year three, and my goodness, you look at their schedule, they could easily have 8 wins.
And I don't know what's going on anymore. Their star player, Mr. Jarnigan, just quit the team. Dad said, you're done. You're getting in the car. We're not going to play anymore.
Bakersfield.
At Bakersfield. So they're having some problems at Bakersfield. Michael Stewart comes in, and he's trying to keep the troops together. I just think you said it. If you haven't seen that wing T style offense all year long, you have 3 days or so to prepare. You can't do it.
The toughest part is, I remember when I was coaching with Wayne Fleegan at Central, and we would play Tim Murphy's teams, is as an offense, you know you're only getting the ball 4 or 5 times tonight.
Can't mess up.
They're going to hang on to it. So yeah. You take risks you normally might not take to score because you're not – you're not going to get another shot at it, and they don't turn over the ball, and they don't punt.
Well, speaking of a Collegian Stadium and all that, can anyone beat Central?
I don't know. Kyle's done such a good job out there, and they're a bit of a destination now with how they coach and the offense they run and the skill players that want to be a part of that. And he's found a niche. You know, Gar's got it going pretty good out there. And Kyle's just kind of continued it on to another level.
Yeah, and I think, and I said it before, when Matt Johnson left Edison, a lot of those kids transferred over. Now Washington Union's really good. But if you look at, I mean, Clovis Unified can't be happy because Central's won 23 straight track games.
When you have a superintendent who was a football legend like Randy Morris at Washington Union, you have to be good.
In your own brand-new stadium.
Right.
Yeah. 844-940 ESPN. If you have any questions for Pat, a lot of Little League questions. They want to know when should Little Johnny shut it down in Little League for the summer.
Well, we've got four kids, and my lovely wife is sitting across the table from us right now. We've got a
good call.
14-year-old boy who is a water polo player, a 13-year-old boy who plays baseball and soccer, and two 10-year-olds, a boy and a girl, and the 10-year-old boy and the 13-year-old boy both play baseball, and Bradley, our 13-year-old, is playing soccer right now. He does strength and conditioning. He comes and hits with me, but
he's not throwing the ball.
He's not pitching. He's good. Not playing in games right now. He's given his body the rest a 13-year-old body needs, and he's playing another sport and cross-training. He's learning to be a better athlete, not just refine his baseball skills. And I think the drive to become as good as you can be at 12 years old really sort of clouds the judgment of most people. You don't want your children hitting their peak at that age. You want them to experience other sports, to train differently, most of all to have fun and develop a love for athletics as a whole, even as they get to high school. And there is not a study out, not one, done by any orthopedist that says specialization in one sport is good for your body, especially at that age.
Are you hearing that, Mom and Dad?
I like it when our kids shut it down after the summer from baseball, over the winter and over the fall, and get fast and train and take a break from it so you're looking forward to coming back.
Talking with Pat Ware. If you have any questions for Pat, 844-940-ESPN. Well, you coached Aaron Judge, and I'm sure he played multiple sports. And you're right, but you know what? Pack meter, I want my kid to be like Aaron Judge. If I can play 12 months out of the year, he's just going to be even better.
He's not going to be 6'7", 260 pounds, and running like crazy. But Aaron played three sports in high school. Played football, basketball, and baseball.
No, see, there you go.
Jordan Luplo, another big leaguer, played football at Buchanan High School. Austin Wins, another big leaguer, wrestled in high school. I would say of the best players we've had at Fresno State, I've been really super fortunate to be around and get to coach about 12 guys that have played in the big leagues. All of them played another sport in high school.
And don't you think it's going to make him a better baseball player? If
Absolutely.
You think you've gone through double days. Because I'm batting now, it's 3-2 in the sixth inning. Big deal. I went through double days and survived it. I made it through double days. So I think if you play football, it makes you a stronger, better mentally prepared baseball player.
100% agree. Well, put yourself in this situation. You're a freshman shortstop standing in the batter's box at Stanford in front of 4,000 people. But you played high school football. Mm-hmm. You were on the 50-yard line with about that same size crowd and everybody's yelling at you.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal because
right.
you've kind of been there before. But the kid that just plays baseball his whole life and has only played in front of mom and dad and a handful of scouts, that's a different kind of pressure that you only really experience if you've played high school football or high school basketball or been in a packed gym where there's a bit of a spotlight on you. And you only get that by doing multiple sports at that age.
I totally agree. See, I played back in the day. I played with Rex Hudler, and we couldn't wait to put the mitts away so we could go play football. And then when football was over, we couldn't wait to get the mitts out of the cupboard to start playing baseball. And all of a sudden, your arm, you're going, I get a little extra giddy up on my arm now because I took 4 months off.
And don't forget how much your body is growing and changing between the ages of most kids that have Tommy John surgery between the ages of 17 and 22, it's a result of the damage that was done when you were 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. You throw too much. You don't prepare to throw the way you need to throw that much. There's no arm care involved. You roll out to the park, you're pitching today, you happen to throw 50 pitches yesterday, but coach needs you to throw to win the championship game. And it's easy for parents to go along with that. But it's not, I don't think it's good for the game, and it's certainly not good for kids.
I always wanted to do a show. So they have dance moms, because my family's into dancing. I wanted to do Little League Dads and follow the Little League Dad, the umpire, grandpa, the coach, the kid. How much fun would that be just to talk about, why isn't Johnny starting today? He's got, you know, Gary in there not starting over my kid, and just have the reality show of Little League.
I think you would get a lot of viewers for that one. And we try to make it a habit to sit as far down the foul line as we can, just so we can watch our kids play and not have to listen to a lot of that, because it does happen.
Yeah, and I sit in the stands. I always sit right behind home plate, and there was a couple of moms last year, and they're yelling at the umpire, get in position! And I said, ma'am, what position should he be in? Well, I don't know, but he needs to get in better position. I think it's just the way people are. They just like to yell.
Yes, they do.
Talk with Pat Ware, the assistant coach of Fresno State. Well, let's talk a little Fresno State. How are we looking this year? I know you're going to be young, but you're always good.
Yeah, we return the position players. We return in Zach Presno, who had an outstanding year for us last year, played a lot of first base, caught a little bit behind Carter Benz. Nate Timian, who played in the outfield for us about 70% of the time, had a really good postseason. Those are the two position players we returned. We graduated or lost to the draft the bulk of our team, and they won 40 games. We got to the finals of the Stanford Regional, and I would say...
How much fun was that?
That was as good a team as we've had. That was every bit as talented as the 08 team, the 11 team, the 06 team. You got to get a little lucky along the way, too. Things have to go your way. But that was a very good, old, tough, textbook Mike Batesel, we're going to grind it out kind of group. And every year we've been good. It's a testament to the program he's designed. But that was a great group. And a lot of local kids, Ashford, Tatum, Aruda, Presno. And then you throw two arms in there, and Ryan Jensen and Davis Moore, that combined to go 22-2. The good one of the strengths of this year's group is we return a lot of guys who pitched a bunch. A lot out of our bullpen that will be in new roles this year. And Ryan Overland's done such a good job as the pitching coach. And you can really see that, the way Davis Moore and Ryan Jensen matured from their sophomore year to their junior year. And he'll do that for this group as well, as he's done throughout the fall. But we've got some depth on the mound. We've got some experience on the mound. We've got some really good, talented young players that are young players.
We're talking with Pat Ware, and I know this is a fantasy question, but it probably never happened. But I always say, I want to get more people in the stands, and you would love to have more people in the stands. Would it be better if Fresno State was in the Big West playing some rivals of the Long Beaches and the Irvines and the Fullertons of the world? Then instead of playing the Mountain West, it's really not a great baseball. You have to travel. You have to go three planes to go here to Air Force, and it's snowing. Would you like to play in the Big West?
I think anytime you can have regional matchups, it always makes more sense. It makes more sense for travel. It makes
the Santa Barbaras of the world.
Base.
Yeah,
they can travel. Although we do travel well, I think just the landscape of college athletics is driven by football, and football pays the bills. They attract the most fans. They bring the most notoriety to your school. So you're in the conference you're in, and you play the opponents you've got in front of you. But to play against a lot of those Big West schools, Fullerton, we always still play Cal Poly a lot. And the Big West has changed quite a bit, too, with the addition of Hawaii. I want to say Cal Baptist and Bakersfield are positioned to go into the Big West, but that might not be accurate. They're going to expand also. College athletics has changed so much based on conference affiliation in the last 10 years, and it's all driven by football.
I just don't have any idea why we don't get more people watching Fresno State. Baseball here is the best. We're, by all the sports, if you look at, we have from Little League all the way to high school baseball to Fresno State. Why aren't we packing that place out more? I just don't understand.
Think about some of the high school coaches we have and have had in this area over the last 30 or 40 years.
I mean, unbelievable.
Unbelievable men like James, who just retired. Tom, Brad Fonts, Chad Thornhill. I don't want to get a text just because I said Thorny's name. You look at the coaches at Fresno City College, from Len Bordet to Ron Scott. At Fresno State, Pete Biden, Bob Bennett, Mike Bates.
It's unbelievable.
Every guy that has come along is elevated
Jody Allen.
To the next level. Jody Allen at COS.
Yeah.
Steve at Reedley College has done a fantastic job.
Merced College, they do a great job.
I think Fresno has grown so much compared to what we were in the 80s when that stadium was built. There's so many more options for people now. Think about 1985. You had two movie theaters to go to.
Yeah.
And a mall. There's more to do in Fresno today. And I think, you know, people are a little more conservative with how they spend their money also.
Yeah, right. California has so much more to do, and it still drives me nuts. I got to give Nate Devine some love from Merced because he listens to the show. He's listening now, and we got to give Merced. I'll get him on the show soon when it's baseball season. But it just drives me crazy because you got such a great program over there, and I just don't understand. We got to figure out. I want to start getting involved with the marketing of get some high school teams out there, and we'll get Fresno State baseball going.
Yeah, the high school kids in this area have always been the staple of our recruiting. I mean, if you look up and down our roster over the last 15 years, it's littered with the best local kids that we can get. You know, Justin Wilson, Alan Amati, and Luplo, Rivera, all those kids that grew up in Zach Ashford, who grew up living at Biden Field watching games. It was his dream to go there. Some kids want to go somewhere else, and we get that. That's just kind of the way it goes. But for the most part, we've done a pretty good job of trying to build a fence around our town and keep the best players here. Just like Ron's done that at City. Tony's done that with football at City. And I think Coach Tedford's doing that with football at Fresno State now. He's made a commitment to keep the best local players.
Yeah, we lost, I'm just thinking, we lost Steve Simonia this week.
Yeah.
Sam Flores.
Yeah.
And Ray Ocanto.
It's been a rough fall for the sports community in this area. I didn't know Steve well. I knew him a little bit from years ago, and he was a guy that was kind of ahead of his time in terms of personal training and helping those pro athletes of different sports train in the off season. Sam was just a great kid. I mean, he's not a kid. He was younger than me, but worked his tail off for Ron at Fresno City College. Did a great job at Hoover High School. And Ray, that one hurt. Ray was our guy.
Yeah. Voice of the Dogs.
Yeah.
2008. We'll never forget that. And you were part of that 2008 World Series, and might never happen again on a run like that. You got on a run, and it was unbelievable.
That was a tough group of kids. They didn't care if they lost, and that's how they were able to win. They just let everything kind of roll off their shoulders at that point in the season, and they were talented. I mean, we had four or five guys off that team get to the big leagues. But they were so good under pressure.
And Justin's still pitching. How about that?
Justin's still pitching. Justin Miller was still pitching as of last year. I think he was granted free agency by the Nationals after the regular season. But I believe that's it off that team that's still playing. And then, of course, most recently, Austin Wins, who's a fantastic story in the big leagues with the Orioles. Taylor Ward, Luplo, Judge.
Tell me about Ryan Jensen. What do you think he's going to be like? Is he going to be a big star soon?
Looking at what Ryan improved upon from his sophomore year to his junior year, his command, emotional command, as well as the command of his pitches, if he can continue to make that kind of progress, the stuff's big league stuff. I mean, it's 98, 99 all day long with two-seam sink and run. It looks like a left-handed slider. And then his slider splits the plate the other direction. It's overpowering. And that was reflected in how he mowed through college baseball last year. But you get into pro ball, and guys can turn that around when they're sitting on it. And if you're fortunate enough to get to the big leagues, everybody's that good. So for him to be a big star, it's kind of like Aaron Judge. Did you know he was going to be a big star?
No.
Heck no. How can you say a guy's going to walk into Manhattan and handle all the things you have to handle to be that good?
With that great smile.
But his character and his makeup and his parents, the way he was raised, helped him do that with the physical ability he had. And Ryan's got the physical ability. You know, he's got to fight his way through the minor leagues just like everybody else.
You got a guy like Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers. I mean, a great run for the Washington Nationals. But Clayton is this close of being the number four pitcher on the Dodgers. He throws 90-92 with a lollipop curveball. Does he have to develop another pitch soon?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know him well. I don't watch him pitch much. I think it was tragic the way he was used in the postseason there at the end. I think that was a lot to put on a guy that hadn't done that before. He's been so successful in the regular season, but, you know, your legacy as a big leaguer is kind of defined by what you do in the postseason. And he hasn't had that success yet. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But 90, you can't throw 92. You got to throw 88 or you got to throw 99. If you throw 92, you get whacked.
Better have something else beside that lollipop curveball.
Right.
How about the Washington Nationals? Did it remind you of the 2008 Fresno State in a way, the way they just got hot?
They played fantastic. Their manager, it was a little bit like watching the Red Sox with Cora a couple years ago. They're just kind of a gritty, and that's the time of the year where big league baseball gets exciting for me because it all of a sudden becomes important. It's more like college baseball. Guys bunt, they hit and run, they have good two-strike at-bats, bases stolen every now and then. You know, you don't do that in game 140 in August.
Okay, the play at first base, what game was that? Was that five? Where they had the play at first, they called interference.
Yeah.
That's the worst call I've ever seen. He was on the bag. He already touched the bag, and then I think it was such a horrible throw, it bailed the throw out.
Yeah.
What was your thoughts?
That's a bad rule. The base is in fair territory.
Yeah.
But you have to run in foul territory after the 45.
And so snap your ankle.
Just the logic of it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And I think that rule was designed, in my mind, I try to rationalize it, because of a throw from the catcher on a blocked third strike or a bunt.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're inside on the grass.
I get it.
Now, okay, apply the rule. But in that situation, it's almost like you swallow your whistle in a basketball game.
Exactly.
You just don't make that call.
Yeah, I saw that. But he was already, he planted the foot on the bag when the first baseman's mitt fell off. It was a horrible throw. And I understand why the Nationals manager went crazy. You would have had to tackle me.
Yeah.
I love him for doing that.
It's a bad rule, and it needs to be applied when it makes sense. And in that case, it wasn't.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that Washington won that game and got the big home run after that, because if they lose that game, all heck is going to break loose.
That pitch Rendon hit out, too. That was a good pitch. That ball's down. It's off the plate. He stayed down there forever and kept it on his barrel.
Just gamers. They came up with so many big hits all the way through. Another wild card team wins the World Series.
It's fun when that happens.
I agree. What would you do? People are, maybe they need to play a 2 out of 3 series from the wild card instead of one game.
I like the way they've got it right now. It's fun to watch. The good part for me is that I want to see an Angels, Yankees, American League Championship Series with Ward and Judge, or a Yankees, Indians, American League Championship Series with Luplo and Judge. I'd like to see our guys get a chance to play deep into the postseason.
I'm a Joe Madden fan, by the way. I love the Angels getting him. I think
that was a great hire.
Great hire.
Now they need to go get Garrett Cole.
Where's he going to end up? In Strasburg. He's not coming back either.
When was the last time the Angels had a real pitcher?
I don't understand. I feel bad for him. I mean, Mike Trout, I know he's the best, but I want to see him get some at-bats when they mean something.
I know.
The only time he plays is the All-Star game. That's his playoff game.
It's nice when the best players are on that stage.
And there's nothing – I mean, I always wonder how the Angels aren't just with the Dodgers. They have that kind of money.
Yeah.
But Joe Madden is going to do a great job with the Angels.
I think so, too. He was probably given some leeway to change some things before he agreed to take that job, I would think.
And I don't know if Mike Matheny was going to – he wants to live on the West Coast, but I really thought the Giants need to make a move on him. But I guess the Royals made a better offer.
I thought so, too.
Look at Pat Ware just like a celebrity here, just waving everybody. A lot of people are coming to Clovis North, Clovis West game tonight.
That was my son Alex's fourth grade teacher, and also our son Bradley's fourth grade teacher.
And what school was that?
Freedom Elementary.
Got to give him some love. Freedom Elementary. Yeah, she's looking all right. So Clovis North is right now dominating over Clovis West fans here.
This is a Bronco-filled place.
Really is.
Yeah.
Rich Rodriguez, they're all outside in a packed house here at 10 Tavern. You've been here. You guys love it here. This is a great place, huh? The east side?
The food's good. The service is good. They've really done a good job redoing the atmosphere. And I think the same owners that own Blast and Brew, is that right?
Yeah. Yes. Well, Pat, thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Nick, anytime. It was a pleasure.
Pat Ware, the assistant coach, his lovely wife in the house. I'm heading out to Reedley now. I'm going to take the Helen Agri Enterprises helicopter. It's on the roof. I'm going to get out to Reedley for the Reedley Emmanuel game. Now, we're talking neighborhood battle.
I've got to coach a lot of places, and one of the most raucous environments you'll ever find is a small-town high school football game.
They have parking ready for me and food when I get there. I love it. Reedley rocks, so I'm excited. In about an hour, we'll have the kickoff, so I'm going to head out of here right now. Thank you to 10 Tavern. You've been such a great host for us. And Amy Bo Peep and everybody here, thank you so much. Pat Ware, thank you. Tony Caviglia, Joe DiAugustino, tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Fresno City Rams and COS will get it going. Thank you to JoJo back in the studio. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Fresno State, the pregame show will start. And go Dogs tomorrow, 4 o'clock against Utah State.
Go Dogs.
Who's going to win that one?
Dogs.
What's the score? Oh, I put pressure on that.
28-14.
28-14 final. All right. You've been listening to The Zone Show, 940 ESPN, your Central Section sports leader. And as Matt says, get in the game.